She was just 22, but her parents will never see Stanford soccer player Katie Meyer again. The sports star took her life, shocking friends and family and fans around the world. But that tragic act has helped open up conversations around suicide and mental health, because Meyer is far from alone. According to support organizations, suicide is the third leading cause of death for 15 to 24-year-olds in the United States. But there's help, and it's growing.
Suicide prevention programs at the high schools, and at this point, we've probably seen over a million kids around the country.
Another shocking fact, a surprising group of medical professionals are battling suicide and depression. They're veterinarians.
We could use another six ER docs in this facility alone.
Statistics show that vets are more than 2.5 times more likely to die by suicide than the general public. We look at why vets are vulnerable and what can be done.
People need to be a little bit bolder and talk about the pain they're in, to reach out, because there are resources and there are people who are ready, willing, and able to help.
And what happens to a person having a mental or emotional crisis? There could be a wait of days or weeks for an appointment with a therapist, and emergency rooms are already overburdened. But a recently opened local clinic fills the gap for those who need immediate care or might not have medical insurance. We take a look. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this week we're in Beverly Hills. We're at an agency called MindMD. It's sort of an urgent care for mental health, if you will. And we'll talk about this safe space in more detail a little bit later on. But more and more people are talking about mental health issues publicly, and much of that is being led by sports figures. We have this tragic case of Katie Meyer, certainly a wake-up call recently. Other recent incidents shine a spotlight on mental health as well. Japanese tennis star Naomi Osaka became the focus of attention after she admitted to anxiety over speaking to the media. And Olympic gymnast Simone Biles bowed out of the Olympics events to protect her own mental health. I recently spoke to a man who is all too familiar with this issue. Katie Meyer was a Stanford soccer star. She was captain of her team. On NBC's Today Show, her mom said Katie died from suicide. She was wearing her daughter's sweatshirt as she struggled to understand what happened.
It's going to sound crazy, but every mom is going to understand this. But when you smell it, it smells like her. It smells like Katie.
Oh, my God. First, I want to convey my deepest sympathies to the Meyer family. The tragedy is unspeakable. I am all too familiar with the unbearable pain and shock they're in.
Ron Silverman's son was named Matthew.
He took his own life.
That was in 2006.
I'm in a fraternity that's an involuntary life sentence. Others have lost children. They know what I mean. At this stage in my life, I have a broken heart, but I'm able to move on. And there's a corner of my heart that's permanently impaired, but I've fortunately been able to move on with my life and smile again and enjoy what life has to offer.
A year after Matthew's death, Ron started a website called MassFoundation.org. It has videos.
He wasn't open with us about the depth of his depression.
And is filled with resources to help others in the same situation. So what are the warning signs for the Katies and Matts in our world? We asked psychotherapist Dr. Lynn Ianni.
A change in behavior on some level, like if this is an outgoing person, they seem to be more isolated lately. Are they in a situation where they've been depressed for a time? Is there some unusual frustration or activity?
Meyer's parents say Katie may have been fearful over a possible disciplinary action by her school. For Matt Silverman, it was a breakup with a girlfriend. Ron Silverman turned grief into action with the foundation in his son's name.
So we put suicide prevention programs into high schools. And at this point, we've probably seen over a million kids around the country. And I'm hopeful to say that we probably have saved some lives in that process.
Joining us right now, Victoria Garrick, a mental health advocate. Thanks for joining us, Victoria. I know you were on the USC women's volleyball team for a while there. Can we start off talking just a little bit about that and what your experience was?
Definitely. And thanks for having me. I played college volleyball at USC, which is Division I for 4 years. And it was an amazing experience. And I've been an athlete my whole life. So like many, you dream of playing in college. But what you can't understand until you're in it is the demand and the toll that being a elite athlete takes on your mental health. And there was a very high pressure environment that I was in that I didn't feel necessarily prepared for. And as a result, experienced my own mental health issues.
It's one thing to experience these issues. It's another thing to get out publicly in front of them to try to help other people. You're a TED Talk speaker. I know you have a podcast, and there's a foundation I'd love for you to talk about, the nonprofit. But how did you get from having this sort of depression to trying to get in front of that and trying to help other people in the same place?
Well, at first I was incredibly ashamed. I did not want anyone to know what I was dealing with, especially as an athlete. There is a stigma around mental health in general, but as an athlete, I didn't want to admit a quote unquote weakness. I didn't want my coach to see that as a reason to take me off the court, my teammates to see it as a reason not to trust me. So there certainly was at least a year there where I didn't want anyone to know about my anxiety or my depression. Once I hit my rock bottom, I did reach out to a therapist and start to talk to someone at the school. And that's when I actually developed some of the tools that would help me manage my mental health issues. And then that's when it clicked for me. Oh, there are things that I can do to help me get back to this old version of myself. One, and secondly, this isn't my fault. This is the result of all of the stress that I'm under, the pressure that young adults experience in society, not being able to manage my time properly. You know, I started to realize that this wasn't something I had to be ashamed of. And then when that clicked, I just wanted to share so that other athletes wouldn't have to be hiding in secret, feeling like they had to be silent about what they were going through, and that they could then open up to people in their life. So letting others know they weren't alone was truly at the core of giving that TED Talk, which was the first time I shared my story.
And what is the nonprofit? And is this sort of what's at the core of what the nonprofit attempts to do?
Yes. So I founded a nonprofit called The Hidden Opponent, and that was the title of my TED Talk. And also it's kind of this visual of athletes facing something that isn't necessarily the person on the other team, right? It's this hidden opponent, this invisible thing we're fighting against, which is our mental health and which could be mental illness. And so The Hidden Opponent nonprofit can be found on the internet at thehiddenopponent.com, on Instagram at The Hidden Opponent. And we are trying to advocate for student athletes, raise awareness for these issues, educate them, and support them with a community of other athletes experiencing the same stress.
Let's talk about the unfortunate situation here with the captain of the Stanford soccer team, Katie Meyer. And we were going to try to talk after that happened. And I know this was very difficult for you as well. And so what was your reaction to that?
It's heartbreaking. My heart goes out to Katie's family and the Stanford community and anyone that knew her personally. It is just being in this field and working with student athletes and speaking to them and having the nonprofit, it hits differently, not only because I was a student athlete, but because I work with them and because I do feel like I can understand what the stress or that environment, you know, feels like for athletes. And the news about Katie is horrific. It's terrible. And I can't stop thinking about her family and friends. And I think what we can take from it is the conversation that it is creating. And hopefully there is someone who will hear of Katie and she will have a legacy that will then change their life for the better.
And I think that's such an important point that you just stepped on, because we talked about Naomi Osaka. We talked about Simone Biles. And again, spotlighting on these situations helps other people, right?
It definitely does. Especially with those athletes, like when that happened with Simone Biles, because she is the best gymnast in the world, you know, at the time, to step down from the most important competition in her life. I think the message that that sent was, we cannot compromise our mental health for anything. And that received a lot of backlash, and there were many people on different sides of that. For me personally, I thought it was incredibly brave what Simone did. I thought it was something that is inspiring, that can show other athletes it is okay to put your mental health first, to step aside from that competition, from what the world is either expecting of you or your parents or your coach or your friends. And so, you know, Simone Biles putting her mental health first was game changing, you know, not only for her, but I think for athletes everywhere.
It is incredibly kind of you to join us and talk about all of this. And thanks for sharing, Victoria Garrett. We'll talk to you again coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth. The toll that the pandemic has taken on an already overtaxed group. We look at the surprising suicide rate among veterinarians and what's being done about that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We're sitting in a relaxation station here at MindMD. And let's just look at this for a moment. This is a video, a calming video that one might watch from this relaxation center. And let me just tell you that data from a mental health survey of veterinarians in 2015 revealed a startling truth, that vets are significantly more likely to suffer from depression, mental illness, and have suicidal thoughts and need health care. And so that's where our next guest comes in. She's Carrie Journey. She runs the group Not One More Vet. And Carrie, thanks for joining us. And tell us a little bit about Not One More Vet.
Sure. Not One More Vet, or NOMVI as we like to call it, started in 2014 after we lost a very prominent veterinarian to suicide. It started very innocently as a Facebook group where veterinarians could just talk to each other about the real struggles we face in the day-to-day. But in 2017, we realized that, you know, people needed more help than that. So we started a 501c3, and now we support over 30,000 veterinarians across the globe. It's been amazingly rewarding work.
Yeah. Why is it that veterinarians experience so much pain?
Yeah, I think it's of course, a complicated answer. But I look at it in two ways. First, the people who become veterinary professionals, it's not just veterinarians, it's also our support staff. They are tremendously dedicated perfectionists who are driven, and we're warriors. You know, we worry about your pets, and that makes a wonderful caregiver, right? That makes someone who's going to see the problems, pay attention to them, and do their best. But it's also something that can really torture us when things are going wrong. You know, I fight Mother Nature for a living. I don't always get to win, even when I'm perfect. And that's really hard to take on emotionally. And then we look at where we work. You know, unfortunately, we live in an intersection of finances and healthcare, which is not easy for anyone. And unfortunately, the majority of people in the United States don't have a financial plan for their pet's healthcare, nor do they have pet insurance. So too often we are kind of faced with logistical realities like finances coming in the way of us doing the medicine we trained to do our whole lives. So that introduces a lot of what's called moral distress and definitely complicates the issue.
How did the pandemic make things more complicated if they did?
Yeah, it definitely did. And my organization is actually participating in some research right now that shows that mental health is worse in 50% of people, worse than it was before. It wasn't great before, and it's even worse now. And, you know, veterinarians are healthcare professionals. I don't think most people think of us as healthcare professionals, but we are. We were essential workers in all 50 states. And so, you know, when everyone else was locked down, we were going to work. I've actually gotten COVID at work because I was dealing with the general public. And, you know, life got really, really busy. A lot of people got a pet during the pandemic, and we have a significant staffing shortage that predates the pandemic. And then we had more people leave because of being essential workers and how hard that was. And it's just really compounded into a very difficult environment. I was talking to my staff the other day. I don't even remember what it's like to not be double booked. I am often double and triple booked, working as hard and as fast as I can just to save as many patients as I can. And we're not getting to a lot of them fast enough. It's been incredibly challenging.
Well, we've done segments on this program alone talking about the lack of veterinarians, the lack of care, animals not getting to veterinarians in time to get help to survive, that hospitals have had to turn, veterinarian hospitals have had to turn pets away. All of this leads into what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, it breaks my heart. I mean, every Monday morning, we're booked out 3 weeks right now. Every Monday morning, we get a phone message about a patient that's died waiting for care. And we're all moving as fast as we can. And every single one of those messages breaks my heart, honestly.
It's very difficult. So what is it that can lighten the burden on veterinarians?
Sure. I mean, I think kindness is always an answer, right? I think that people don't realize how emotional and combative they can be when they're veterinary professionals. No one likes to be turned away for an appointment, told they have to wait, anything like that. But I promise you, we're all working as fast as we can. And if you could be patient with us and be kind to us, we would super, super appreciate it. If you happen to see people bashing veterinarians online, 1 in 5 veterinarians actually experiences cyberbullying at some point in their career. And it's tremendously emotionally difficult. So if you could help stick up for your local veterinarian when you see that online, that would be great. And then finally, you know, organizations like mine are always accepting donations and volunteers. And so we would welcome your help.
Dr. Carrie Journey, thanks so much for filling us in on this, some of which I had no idea. I want to mention your website real quick. It's nomv.org for people who'd like to get more information. All right, next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we continue our conversation. A sanctuary for patients needing care for mental or emotional issues or having a drug crisis. We talk to the people behind the clinic we're in right now. It's called MindMD. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and we're at MindMD, and this is really an interesting place. You know, one of the challenges of dealing with mental health is the unpredictability of it. It's not like you've got an urgent care on every corner when you have a mental health issue like you do when you have a physical health issue. But Ari Hurd and Jesse Martori started this thing. Ari is the CEO, and Jesse, who's a registered nurse, is the co-founder. And when I say started this thing, started this notion of an urgent care for mental health. So why don't you, let's start with Ari, and why don't you just explain what the heck I'm talking about? What does that mean, urgent care for mental health?
Sure. Thank you, Hal, for coming and seeing us. But yeah, urgent care for mental health is really one of the greatest needs and reasons why mental health has become a crisis, is because the first time anyone who's going through any issue of mental health accesses and figures out the puzzle of mental health, by the time they figure it out, they're in a true crisis. So what we have established here is a very on the street, easy access with no stigma, comfortable environment surrounded by mental health professionals where you could walk in at any time and attain the help and advice, become stabilized, and then seek advice of what to do next.
And just for the sake of knowing where we're at, this is 8500 Wilshire Boulevard. It's right in Beverly Hills. It's on a first floor. And it's like an urgent care. You'd walk in the door, and so somebody walks in the door. You don't know them. They're not necessarily coming in as a referral. How do you start sort of an examination with somebody that walks in cold?
Absolutely, and that's exactly what we're set up for. We want to be the place people can come when they don't know where else to go. So we have providers who are able to start with an evaluation, just as if you had a medical problem. So you'll come in, we'll be able to assess what's happening, what's at the root cause of the issue, and then what the plan of care is that you might need. If it's more critical and crisis-like, we would put you in our observation area, you'd be under supervision, receive medication, meet with a therapist as we develop a plan of care. Or if it's something more simple where you have a mental health diagnosis and you need medication management, we're able to provide that as well.
Let's get down to some nuts and bolts here, Ari, because we're talking about something that, one, is difficult to deal with. Mental health care is just really a challenge in this country anymore, and the cost of it makes it even a bigger hurdle. So somebody walks in the door. Right now you don't have insurance. You're working to get insurance here in the next few weeks. But what is your cost when you walk in the door, starting from go?
Sure. So really, for $350, you get a day program of advice, assessment, medical care, and more importantly, we will put you on a track that fits both your assess level of care, but even more so your financial care. So if you're a Medicaid patient, we're going to get you along a plan of action along a Medicaid route. If your insurance, the same way.
Why has this been so difficult dealing with costs, dealing with insurance, dealing with the things that you've tried to? I mean, it's not like you just opened yesterday,
right?
And you're still waiting for the approvals to get the insurance coverage you need. What is the issue with that?
The American healthcare system is complex. Insurance companies are fragmented. You're not dealing with a single organization. You're dealing with multiple. Some insurance companies might outsource their mental health benefits. And so for individuals in the community, it's hard to navigate. And as an organization, it takes time to navigate. I think it's largely institutional in how we're set up right now.
You know, healthcare is just a challenge, Ari. And so... What do you tell people when they say, I can't afford mental health care?
I tell them, you need to start somewhere, and we're going to help you, no matter what, you know. And the same way, you know, it's funny because in our, you know, when you deal with mental health care, it is about cost. But it's also about the patient themselves learning to take it as seriously as they would a broken leg. You know, if you were to walk into an urgent care or a hospital with a broken leg and you need to front a certain amount of money, somehow that those dollars appear. I think that there's a learning curve for America on both sides, on the patient side and on the payer side, to take mental health care as seriously as physical.
I just have a couple of seconds. Do you see a future of more of these sort of places popping up in neighborhoods?
Absolutely. That's part of our business plan and our vision, is that this is our first foundational site for MindMD, but there's definitely the demand in the community, and our mission and vision is to fulfill it through multiple centers, both locally and nationally.
All right, Jesse, Ari, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. And
we'll
have more coming up on Fox 11 News In Depth right after this break. We'll be right back. Thanks to the folks here at MindMD for hosting us this week for Fox 11 News In Depth. You've heard some important content, and you've seen some important and calling things like the video earlier and even this water feature behind us. Before we go, we want to leave you with some important information. So take these down. The Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 800-273-8255. And online, it's suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Take care, be safe, and we'll see you next time, everybody.